Today, we're saying goodbye to a year dominated by a pandemic that has killed more than 345,000 Americans and disrupted the lives of millions more. Historian Douglas Brinkley has been watching this year through his historic lens. He's a professor of history at Rice University. Welcome back to the show and Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you also.
Douglas, we spoke to you on New Year's Day exactly 1 year ago, and we really couldn't have imagined this year ahead, the pandemic. President Trump had been impeached, but his trial hadn't started yet. We keep saying the impact of 2020 may be unlike any other time in modern history. Is that true?
I do think it was the worst year in the 21st century, and in the 20th century, you have to go back to the World War II era for the amount of deprivations the American people had to put up with. The pandemic really caught our country by surprise. I mean, we just in 2019, we were celebrating American can-doism, that we had gone to the moon, and American exceptionalism of Neil Armstrong. And here it's 2021, and we couldn't do the Iowa caucus properly in the Democratic runoff. And then things started unspooling in February with COVID-19, and we just saw a lack of presidential leadership that seemed to continue to get worse week after week. And meanwhile, the only good news was our medical infrastructures, our heroes, people who worked in the hospitals and the medical technicians seemed to step up and at least made the year palatable. But the combo of COVID and cyber attacks and the craziness of the presidential campaign just made it an unnerving year.
Absolutely. You bring up the moon conversations. I remember that. It seems so long ago in the Iowa caucuses. Those are two stories we don't even bring up now. Thank you for bringing those up. You know, before we talk about looking ahead to 2021, let's also go back to something else. That's the impeachment trial. It was just the third in American history. It feels like a lifetime ago. How will the impeachment trial, you think, be remembered in the flurry of everything else that happened?
In the same way that the problems of Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton got remembered, meaning it's always going to be in the first paragraph of Donald Trump's biography that he joined the club of impeached presidents. He's going to wear that eye on his chest forever. And you can't shake it. He can be an ex-president of Mar-a-Lago. He could start saying all the great things that he feels he did. But that eye stands there. And then the fact that he's a one-term president, that's the L, the loser word. When you write presidential history, you try to avoid the I and the L, and Donald Trump inherited both of them this past year, and it's one of the reasons he's acting out as we enter 2021, refusing to accept Joe Biden as president. It's because he realizes that his stock's only going downward from here.
We understand what this means for him, but let's talk a little bit more about the impact on the country. There were two articles of impeachment against the president, abuse of power and obstruction of justice. He was acquitted in votes that largely fell along party lines. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, who presided over the Senate trial, announced the verdict on February 5th. Let's go back and listen.
The presiding officer directs judgment to be entered in accordance with the judgment of the Senate as follows. The Senate, having tried Donald John Trump, President of the United States, upon two articles of impeachment exhibited against him by the House of Representatives, and two-thirds of the senators present not having found him guilty of the charges contained therein, it is therefore ordered and adjudged that the said Donald John Trump be, and he is hereby, acquitted of the charges in said articles.
And here's another moment. After the verdict was announced, President Trump greeted cheering supporters at the White House and held up a copy of the Washington Post, if folks remember that, with the headline, Trump acquitted. Let's listen to a clip from his remarks.
This is really not a news conference. It's not a speech. It's not anything. It's just we're sort of, it's a celebration because we have something that just worked out. I mean, it worked out. We went through hell. Unfairly, did nothing wrong. I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is.
Douglas, was going through this process good for the country?
I don't think so in the end. It's just more of an indication of divided government, that we're in a kind of neo-civil war now between Trump and anti-Trumpers and Democrat, meaning Democrats and some Republicans. So there's a feeling that Washington, D.C. isn't working as we head into 2021. If you get to travel around the country, you feel that some of our local governments working and some state governments have done well. There have been governors through the COVID-19 crisis who have become stars of efficiency. But by and large, one can't help feeling frustrated that Congress seems to be in disarray, that nobody, if you were a Republican, you didn't want to be in a photo op with Barack Obama. If you're a Democrat, you don't want to be seen in the same frame as Donald Trump. It's not a collegiate attitude in Washington, D.C. It's warfare. And social media, I think history will point to as being the leading culprit of creating a kind of viciousness in the public square. Anybody could say anything that's crude and nasty and demeaning. You just type a few words in and you can hide behind your tweet or your post. And that happened a lot in 2021.
Yeah. You know, the pandemic response also was just so political. The choice to wear a mask or not became a political statement. I mean, we're really still in the thick of the pandemic response. How do you think history is going to judge the government's response in the beginning months of this pandemic, if we even look at it that way?
Well, we will. Everybody's going to look at when the virus hit the United States, and they will see President Trump trying to be wistfully wave the virus away. He didn't mobilize the country quickly, and lives were lost. He called himself a wartime commander in chief. He failed at that for the first couple of months. We did start getting our act together. Dr. Fauci now is a figure that's going to live large in American history, representing scientific expertise against political blarney and misinformation. And Trump found some traction. And I think Operation Warp Speed will go down as a plus. The fact that Trump said, let's go now, move quickly on the vaccine, and by the end of the year, there were solutions in our midst. It's yet to be seen how the distribution of the vaccines are going to work in 2021. It's getting off to a slow start. But I'm always haunted by that number of the Spanish flu epidemic of 650,000 people dying in 1918-1919 period. That was back then, and we were a lot less populated country. What is the death toll at the end of the line with COVID-19? We don't know. We're hearing about new variants. We're not sure about vaccine distribution. So it's we're entering 2021 still in the midst of a really serious crisis.
With the minute I have left with you, Inauguration Day is just in a few weeks on January 20th. What does Joe Biden need to say that day in his address?
He has to heal the country. He has to use some of the soul of America rhetoric that worked well for him at speeches that he gave in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Warm Springs, Georgia. He has to say that competence in government is here and build a real team that helps the U.S. government repair from the sort of savagery of the last 4 years. And even if you're an admirer of President Trump, a huge supporter listening, you have to admit he was trying to disable federal institutions. He was constantly at war with CIA and State Department, with the EPA and Interior. One could go down the list. I think Biden needs to become the representative of the U.S. federal government working at its best on the behalf of the American people and listening to the scientific community, because they have our answers.
Douglas Brinkley is professor of history at Rice University. Thank you for speaking with us again this New Year's Day. And again, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you for the privilege.